This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 46th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts and I've been developing software for over 19 years. Developing iOS apps for over 9 years. And I'm running the Dutch CoCast for over 8 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about building dynamic lists in Swift UI, using Swift's async await to build an image loader, view masking in Swift UI, pass-through subject versus current value subject explained, preventing data races using actors in Swift, Swift regrets, and NS Spain Remote Edition 2021. Where I work, we've been using Twist.io. This is a sort of a Swift-based command line utility that allows you to generate Xcode projects and workspaces based on a Swift metadata format. So you can define your products and your frameworks in some Swift code, and then you can generate out your Xcode projects with all your files in there. It's really cool. I did a presentation on it before for CocoaHeads NL, and soon I will be doing an online presentation in Dutch, unfortunately, on this very topic, which is like a quick overview of why we've been using Twist.io. So I'm now working on creating those slides and making sure that I have a 20-minute talk, which is not very long. And just for the heck of it, because I'm now creating the talk, I also submitted a CFP with basically the same talk to NS Spain, which is a great conference based in Spain. But this year, again, they're doing a remote edition. So a big shout out to them. And they have their early bird ticket sale available right now. So for €200, you can get access to all their content, which is 36 hours of talks and presentations and events, which in my mind, it's really a steal. I was unable to attend last year's edition, but from what I've heard, it's been a great event. And I'm wishing the organizers best of luck putting this thing together. NS Spain Remote Edition 2021 will be available and online at November 18th and 19th, 2021. And ticket sales is now open. You can also enter their call for papers till October 4th. Now let's get started with the articles of this week. The first article is by Peter Friese, Building Dynamic Lists in Swift UI, The Ultimate Guide to Swift UI List Views, Part 2. This is the second article that Peter has written on using dynamic lists in Swift UI. And it's a good article that gives a good overview. It's quite long, actually, on how you can display lists of elements and how you can use list binding to modify list items as you go, and asynchronous fetching of data. So all in all, this article gives you quite the cool overview. Obviously, Peter will tie it into the Firebase offering because he's the developer advocate of that platform. So you also learn something about Firebase. But even then, it's still a good overview how you can integrate with a backend API and make sure that it's being displayed on screen. So have a look at his article and see if you can learn something about dynamic lists in Swift UI. The next article is by Donny Walls, and it's one of his typical articles again, using Swift's async await to build an image loader. Async await will be the de facto way of doing asynchronous programming in iOS 15 and above, and hopefully it's going to be backported to earlier versions of iOS, who knows. Donny has already written quite a bit about the new Swift concurrency features, and there's still plenty to write about, he says. In this post, Donny is going to take a look at building an asynchronous image loader that has support for caching. basically what Danny is doing is rebuilding a component that is available in iOS 15. By rebuilding it, you really get a look behind the scenes of how such components could work. And it's a thorough overview of how you can load images from the network and display them in the UI in an asynchronous fashion without causing all kinds of race conditions or other asynchronous related issues. So definitely worth the read, because you will learn a lot about async await, image loading, caching, things like that, that most often can be handled by tools or utilities or frameworks that you get elsewhere. But it's good to know how things could work under the hood, because it just allows you to imagine if there's ever an issue, what could be the cause of the problem. The third article I'm mentioning is by Federico, and it's a continuation of an article that I mentioned last week. This time, the article is called View Masking in Swift UI. In his previous article, in View Clipping in Swift UI, Federico has explored all the ways you can apply clipping masks to views. While it's a powerful technique, clipping has two significant limitations. It requires shapes as masks. The content is either masked or not. There is no gray area. So what Federico will do is explore SwiftUI masking beyond clipping. It's a very good continuation of his initial article. And because it's such a good continuation, I wanted to include it in this episode again. Because even if it's still the same article series, it's just so worthwhile to just have a look at this and just see what Federico has written on this topic. It's a true continuation on the previous article, so definitely read that first and then dive into this article. But it is linked from this article at the top of the article, so no worries there. The biggest difference, what you will learn compared to the previous article, is that you can also play with transparency now a little bit. So that allows you to mix two images together with some opacity and just get very nice and cool effects on your user interface that you can use to approach a difficult design that one of your UX designers might have delivered to you. The next article is by Antoine van der Lee. I hope he's enjoying his vacation, or maybe he's back already, but he's been to the Ardennes and he's been posting pretty pictures of his dog and his walks in nature. So Antoine, I hope you had a good one. And the article that he published hit home with me personally, because I really asked myself, what the heck is the difference between the pass-through subject versus a current value subject? Antoine goes into depth about this very topic, and in his article he explains what the difference is between a pass-through subject versus a current value subject. In his article, Antoine goes into some depth explaining these two subjects, but he hits home with a very nice analogy right at the end of his article. A pass-through subject is like a doorbell push button. When somebody rings the bell, you're only notified when you are at home. On the opposite end is a current value subject. It's like a light switch. When a light is turned on while you're away, you'll still notice it was turned on when you get back home. So that's a very easy way to understand and remember what the difference is between a pass-through subject and a current value subject. Read the entire article on Antoine's blog. Lee has an article called Preventing Data Races Using Actors in Swift. Data races, the worst nightmare of all developers. They are hard to detect, very unpredictable, and extremely difficult to fix. Apple has given developers various tool sets, such as NSLock and serial queues, to prevent data races from happening during runtime. However, none of them are capable of catching race conditions during compile time. With the release of Swift 5.5, this will no longer be the case. Introducing Actor, the new Swift language feature that can help developers to catch any possible race conditions during development time. In this article, Lee will first look at how data races occur when using dispatch queues and asynchronous tasks, and after that, he will look at how actors can help you identify race conditions in your code and prevent them from happening once and for all. I really love it when an article has a great introduction. Thanks, Lee. Read this article, it's awesome. And the final article of this week is a bit different. It's written by Jordan Rose. And for the last few weeks, he's been writing Twitter threads on Swift regrets, things he wished he'd done differently early on in Swift's development. He's been doing them on Twitter rather than as blog posts because of his RSI. Short form on his phone is easier than long form at the keyboard when he spent so much time at the keyboard already for work. But he's mirroring them on his blog. Jordan worked on Swift at Apple from pre-release to to Swift 5.1. And he's at least partly responsible for many things people like about Swift and also many things people hate about Swift. This list is something he started collecting around when he left Apple, and he's putting them up so other language designers can learn from these mistakes. These are all things that would be hard to change in Swift today because they'd break tons of people's code. All in all, Jordan has created a nice inside look into the mind of one of the people involved with the Swift language development. You don't have to agree with everything that he says. It's just part of his view on how things have happened. So read them with an open mind and just have some fun, learn from them. And maybe it provokes some deep thoughts within yourself as well. And I hope Jordan's RSI gets better. And those were the articles for this week. So let's quickly move on to Donny's Monday morning tweet. Let's see. He had quite a number of replies on it this time around. So I'm just scrolling through them a little bit and just see what we got here. So let's get started. Peter Frieser reports on another part 4 of his series about building reusable Swift UI components. It's something that he publishes on YouTube. Great stuff, really. Daniel Steinberg is teaching a Swift UI workshop Friday remotely to a group in London, and he'll be updating his material this week. So he says he updates his material every time he teaches it. He's also rereading some information on Core Data, and he's considering adding CD to a music app he's playing with. Limited DFS is finishing the building of the watch app for Bluebird app, and it's now in beta testing. Bluebird combines focus timer with time management, offering a joyful and stress-free experience for study and work. He's planning on launching it right after the iOS 15 release. Ben Nolan is just waiting for the GM to drop so he can submit his work. Daniel spent basically the whole weekend on telemetry deck's service performance, which seems to be paying big dividends right now. So he must have been able to improve some performance aspects there. And Vincent is is preparing his credit card balance to spend some money after tomorrow's keynote. So best wishes there, Vincent. And those videos seem to be doing all right for you then. Emin is doing the final work on his finally having to do something on the App Store project besides the Egg Timer app. And he's finally wrapping the project up instead of letting it die on 95% completion. Leo Gideon is creating tons of content as usual. I don't know how you can keep up this pace, Leo. It's amazing. Just keep at it. I love your stuff. Below is a Kanban board. Interesting Twitter handle. This morning, he or she reported hate speech on Facebook and they actually deleted it. So he or she considers that to be his work or her work for the week done. Attila is saying happy Monday. He's trying to catch up with a few things at work and he's working on the content of his workshop on Smashing Mac. And he's having a nice code brew coffee. He also included a nice picture of a glass. Sandy is mentioning that her mentor recently told her that he thinks she is ready to move on to medium-level functions and challenges. So she'll be working on those this week. She's a bit nervous and excited. But don't worry, Sandy. You'll probably just be fine. If you have a good mentor, they know what you can take and they will make sure that you have to walk on your toes a little bit. But stretching only gets you higher and makes you do better. So best wishes to you. And an interesting one is Andy Ibanez. He's been working on his workshop presentation this upcoming Friday for TriSwift World, and he was able to do a test run with a few colleagues so he could get their input on the presentation format. So he's really preparing his stuff for TriSwift World. Best wishes and best luck to Andy. And that's it for this week. If you want to support my podcast or just throw me a tip, have a look at pod.fan/appforce1. If you have any feedback, just message me or DM me on Twitter at appforce1. So you can pretty much find me with AppForce1 everywhere. So enjoy your week, and I will talk to you again next week. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.